We'd probably kill him. Solomon Wilcutts, how are you, bud?
I'm doing great, Nick. Nice to be with you.
Hey, speaking of some of these wonder, we'll start off with a very subtle question, which is white, black, and some of the racial overtones that happen. I was really a little disturbed by Larry Johnson. As great as he's done, as much as he has stood up and become more of a team leader this year, when he was interviewed on Inside the NFL by Chris Carter, he made some comments that seemed to suggest pretty clearly that if a white coach, i.e. Dick Vermeil, criticized him, he couldn't get past the fact that it was a white coach reprimanding him, and that with a black coach, not just someone who was more sensitive, somebody who understood him, but if a black coach, i.e. Herman Edwards, criticized him, that would make a difference. Do you think that that's really what he was trying to say?
Well, I don't want to put words in his mouth in terms of what he was trying to say, but I know this. I can speak for Dick Vermeil in terms of understanding where he's coming from if he were to chide any player. I think he's really poking and prodding, trying to get that player, A, to accept some accountability, trying to improve him, and trying to get him to be the best that he can be. I think, you know, there's other players that would attest to that. I think Priest Holmes and Marshall Faulk would attest to that. I think Wilbur Montgomery, who played for him back with the Philadelphia Eagles, could attest to that. I think players who played for him, even in the time when he was much stricter and much more stern when he coached at UCLA and when he first entered the league with the Eagles, I think could also attest to that. And so, you know, it's up to players. They can process it however they want, but I think also they should never take it personal, and they should always take it upon themselves to get better and at least try the things that the coach is trying to recommend.
Well, what I don't like about it is, as much as I think Larry is a sensitive guy and he's got a lot of great qualities, it's that he's made it a racial issue to some degree. And that's not to say that it's great to say that Herman Edwards is indeed somebody that listens, and maybe he felt he was a better listener. But it seems as if he made it a racial issue rather than, as many coaches, black and white on the Chiefs staff, said, those first year and a half with the Chiefs, that time was spent by Larry complaining and not really doing his homework. He'd fall asleep in meetings. He was not really focused. So, you know, he can blame it on other things, but some of it has to be right in the mirror with his own conduct.
There's no doubt about that. And if I heard correctly, I do believe that there were some racial things implied in terms of what Larry Johnson was saying. I think he also intimated that he felt that, you know, Herman, having been a former player, was another reason that he felt he had a stronger bond and a stronger connection to Herman Edwards. So I think there are several things. I think, obviously, he did make it a racial issue, but I think he made it about coaches who played and those who didn't play. And so I agree with you, though. I do believe that he has to accept, you know, the responsibility of maybe some of the miscommunication that took place. Anytime there's miscommunication, it's a two-way street. It's the one who's sending the message and the one who's receiving the message. But, you know, I think also we have to listen to him because he deserves the right to say who he responds to best. Even though we may not like his reasons for why he responds to someone more so than the other, he does get to make that call. And it's unfortunate that he would only be able to respond to someone of the same racial and cultural background as he, because I believe that we can learn from people who are quite different than we are, who have had different experiences in their backgrounds than what we have. I think we can learn from everyone.
And I think the NFL certainly is slowly doing a better job of including so many of those outstanding black coaches. And if he is indeed simply trying to say, hey, black coaches deserve a better shot because they can connect, because they're great coaches too, I don't think any of us disagree with that. It just, to me, it's too bad because Larry is taking that step to one of the preeminent runners of the last 10 years, probably, and he's done so much. Let's switch a little bit now, and let's tackle a different subject, specifically tackling. The Cincinnati Bengals have, who you follow quite closely, have suddenly remembered how to tackle. Here's Merrill Hodge from yesterday's show, first talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and their issues with tackling.
Well, you know, I think that the defense has been one of the most improved units in football, you know, number one. You know, two, the last couple of weeks they've given up some big plays. You know, I study with them, you know, Ty Law is a guy who's given up some big plays because people have been able to tell the movie. You know, and once you've shown you're susceptible to that, people go after you all time and time again. I don't know that he he recovers like he used to in the past. You know, and when you're going to pressure people and you're going to bring pressure, you always run the risk of, you know, being exposed by that. You know?
That's our friend Merrill Hodge from yesterday's show. And Ty Law is an important leader on that defense. But what do you think it is about some teams? It happens that most teams don't play as well on the road. But the Chiefs are a total schizophrenic team. On the road versus Pittsburgh, on the road versus Cleveland, really not a tremendously good team as opposed to at home.
Well, first of all, I can say this. I think Ty Law is a very good tackler. He might have a game where he exhibits poor tackling, but I think that's more of an anomaly than it is a trend. I think if you look at the body of work that he's put in over the course of his career, he's always been one of the best tackling corners in the league, one of the more physical corners in the league, and I think he's still that kind of player. Has his speed and quickness maybe eroded? Yeah. But when you talk about tackling or the lack of the ability to tackle well, I talk to coaches all around this league, Nick, and what you have essentially on the back end of the season is teams spend so much time working schemes and working assignments and trying to rep out just everyone knowing where they're at, that by the time you get into the second half of the season, they haven't done a tackling drill since training camp. So what you have with many coaches, there's greater emphasis on assignment than there is on fundamentals. And so the fundamentals, you're on both sides of the ball. That's why you have a lot of drop balls. You have all these problems with fundamentals on the back end of the season in the second half of the year, particularly in the month of December. And in speaking with Andy Reid, he said it is the most difficult thing for a coach is try to not only schedule in time for repping out your assignments, which we all know is most important, but also trying to make sure that those fundamentals, blocking, tackling, catching the ball, those things don't erode. It is a difficult challenge for coaches as they try to map out their daily schedules.
And, you know, you're right about catching the ball. I don't remember a season when I've seen so many good, not to mention average, receivers dropping the ball. Here's Merrill Hodge from yesterday, talking about also something else I wanted your comment on, Solomon Wilcox, which is the fact that maybe quarterbacks have a little bit of an edge when they're running the ball and they're getting close to that sideline, i.e. Mr. Anderson, in overtime for Cleveland against the Chiefs.
Scout players, scout personnel, not so sure that they had a full, complete book on that kid. And, you know, you got to give him a lot of credit. This is where I think a quarterback always has the advantage. When they go to the sideline, I think a lot of defenders tend to think, you know what, they're going to go out of bounds. You know, not, you know, they start to ease up because of all the penalties that are occurred. You know, the confusion,
yeah, worried about
that,
that
penalty. And he was like, I don't care what's going on, I'm not going to stop. You know, and I feel far sorry for defenders right now and the quarterback, how to, you know, tackling, how to do anything to him, because, you know, it's so ambiguous as to what's going to be called. You know, I hope at the end of the year they address that and they make it a 5-yard penalty or a 15-yard penalty, and the 5-yard penalty is not a first down.
What do you think about that? Is it time to be a little bit more careful with the level of impact that penalty has when the quarterback uses it for exploits that rule for his own benefit?
Well, I think some have exploited it. I think that was the unfortunate situation when Trent Green was injured in week one. It's like, okay, you could have slid at any point in time. You can't wait for a defender to leave his feet and where you see him he's coming at you, and then now, okay, I'm going to slide. Well, you know, you got to be more careful. I think defensive players are put in a position where they've got to take it easy on quarterbacks, and no one should have to play football that way.
When we come back, the great Solomon Wilcox will continue to talk about the young quarterbacks in the league, which ones are being brought around too quickly. What happened to Alex Smith last year is one example. Also, the AFC versus the NFC, an interesting spate of 6-6 teams. Who we think is going to make it out of that group for the playoffs. Coming back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius 7.